And welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. And welcome to this beautiful Saturday, wherever you are in the States or around the world for that matter, because we stream live every Saturday at richarddugan.com and newspress.com. We broadcast live. We also archive the programs at richarddugan.com, the radio shows page. And we also rebroadcast this program on Sundays on A2Zen.fm at 3 p.m. Pacific time. So Saturdays at 3 p.m. Pacific time at richarddugan.com and newspress.com. Sundays, 3 p.m. Pacific time at A2Zen.fm. And then, of course, the archives page. So you have plenty of opportunities to grab the program. You can go to the radio shows page and download the interview and spread it hither and yon, however you want to do that, to share the ideas of our guests that we have each week. And I don't usually do this, but I just feel compelled to let you know that coming up in October, we're going to be talking with Bruce Lipton. I'm very excited about that interview. What an interesting and fascinating man. Most of you probably know who he is, and of course I do as well. First opportunity to talk with him about his ideas and his concepts for present into future, and what we're going to be, where we're going to be, how we're going to be, who we're going to be in the years ahead. And then in December, as I have semi-promised you, we're going to have a return visit from Greg Braden on the eve of December 21st, 2012. Auspicious day for me personally, because it'll be my 10-year anniversary, which Greg reminded me in our interview earlier in the year was what the Mayans were actually writing about, so that I would get it right, whatever the celebration would be. And if I didn't, then that would be the end of the world. It might be for me. I hope not for you. But nonetheless, we're going to have some exciting guests coming up on the program. Right now, we have on the program with us Flo Magdalena. She's returning to our microphones and our program. And Flo, it's great to have you. You're with Soul Support Systems. Is it? I always get this confused. .com?
.org.
It is a .org. Okay, nonprofit. SoulSupportSystems.org. And you have written a number of books, but and I know that it's not so much that your focus has changed, it's still the same, but you, when we first talked, you shared with us a great deal about your insights and what you have been shared with by the powers that be that you know, the essences, the entities, if you will, about Mary Magdalene and who she really was and what her role was and the message that she brought as well. I believe there was, pardon me, one book I do recall, the title, I Remember Union. And that's just one of them. Tell if for those of who are listening, maybe for the first time, hearing you for the first time, just give us a quick synopsis. Flo Magdalena, SoulSupportSystems.org. What is your vision and what is your message?
Hi, Richard. It's nice to be here. I was brought up Presbyterian.
Oh.
And I was always told that Mary Magdalene was a woman of the night, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so when I started to open to metaphysics, and I was a nurse, so I kind of put that together, and that became holistic health, and I started a small practice in, oh boy, like 1981 with that. I just began to expand my awareness more and more, you know, as we do when we learn and grow and take courses and ground what we're understanding. And I had an experience in 1989 with Mary Magdalene where she began to show me more and more about what her world had actually been like, what she was actually here for, and why she started to come to so many people, I think to a large extent women, to provide us with an understanding of the Magdalene stream, the place where the avatars, male and female, throughout the centuries have gathered the respect for life, the honoring of connection with all it is, but also have lived that as quote-unquote light beings, bringing forth new ideas, new creations, and so forth. And so I worked with her kind of literally from 1989 to the end of December 31st of 1991, and on Valentine's Day in 1992, I published the first edition of I Remember Union, which is a story that is about how Mary Magdalene and Christ and Judas set together this drama, you know, and we look at the crucifixion of Christ and the resurrection of Christ, and in a lot of ways, you know, the ideas that have to do with Christianity, as in some ways, maybe perhaps, you know, kind of sticking my neck out a little bit here, kind of the greatest drama of humanity. It doesn't really matter whether we're Christian or not. It's just that so much of the world is based around it. That
yes.
It seems like, you know, no matter who you are and what path you're following, that we all know about that on some level or another. And so Mary has shown me the truth about who she is, and of course she is an emissary of light. And she showed me about Judas way back before, you know, the published Gospel of Judas kind of got him off the hook there. And she shared with me some things that I believe are really instrumental for our species to come through this change of evolution that we're in. And so we're doing a movie of that, and we're practicing what the principles are in making the movie and organizing our understanding around a lot of those principles so that we can demonstrate them in the film, and so that we can also tell the story so that it makes sense no matter where we come from in our belief system. And in fact, a lot of the movie really is going to be about how belief actually creates us in a separate state from each other, and how when we believe something, it really begins to erode our trust in each other, because if we don't believe the same thing, you know, so forth and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So how we can really begin to look at the traumas and dramas of our experience and move into this place called the swing between worlds. And I'm giving away a little bit here, but we want to base some of the film in this place called the swing between worlds, which is, I think, similar to the Bardo, or to those places in consciousness where we go to regroup, get restored, you know, activate our own awareness and wisdom, and where we make choices, and where we look into the life that's coming, and you say, well, where is it I want to go this time? What is it I want to do? What do I want to learn, and what do I want to give? What is my contribution? So we're going to make this process of decision-making and the guidance that's available to us in that process, and then all the way through our life, very visible, audible, and palpable on the screen. So I'm really excited about that process.
Well, and of course, I'm certain that you've surrounded yourself with the kinds of people who are not only like-minded, but who have the skills, the skill set to be able to bring this all together in just one beautiful way. And that I've noticed in my own career, in my own life, and projects that I've worked on, that just seems to naturally happen when you are creating something and you're being extremely selfless about it. That it's the message, it's the vision that is so important.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah.
So,
and at this time, go ahead.
No, I want you to go ahead and continue with this, because to make a movie, I mean, I'm still trying to finish a book that's a small little thing I've been working on for 12 years, and here you are, you're working on this, I'm guessing it's like a feature-length, full-length feature film kind of a deal?
Yeah, I think it will be. That's where it's tending to want to feel like it's going. The thing about the film, which is interesting, I'm thinking for anyone who's creating anything, is when the book came through me and I experienced the kind of realities of the first century, one of the things that has been consistent in my awareness about what I'm, quote-unquote, kind of choosing to do or supposed to do, quote-unquote, is to keep the vibration of everything I do that clear vibration. And so when we work with people on either individual levels or in the film, or we have this anticipatory kind of idea that what we want to do is hold that vibration in all of the filming and how people come into the work itself and what their part in that process of co-creation is, that the vibration is what stays consistent, and then the creation from that is very natural. It mm-hmm. just flows.
Oh, yeah. I think one of the first experiences that I had early on was when someone would come to me, and this was back in the late 70s, early 80s, they'd come to me with a pile of records and cassettes and say, I want to create a 30-minute show. And I'm going, have you timed any of this out? Have you decided? Blah, blah, blah. No. Okay, well, all right, let's just start putting it together. And, And when it was all done, it all just fit together perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was, and that would happen over and over again. And that just really told me that when something like that happens and you're not thinking about the structure, because I had the skill sets, I knew what I was doing, I was there helping this individual, and boom, boom, boom. And the next thing you know, they had the program they were looking for, or they had the project finished that they were looking for. And it just naturally comes together. It's an extraordinary experience to be a part of, you know, as well as to have the opportunity to watch. You have a lot of other things that are going on as well. And I'm curious as to, I mean, I love the fact that you have soul support systems. You know, I've never thought of that in that context before. I mean, we have all kinds of other support systems for our minds and our bodies and our emotions, that kind of thing. I'll go to a therapist if it's my emotions or my mental state, or I'll go to the gym, or I'll get a trainer or what have you. But there really isn't anything for the soul, for that real interior life. Yeah, it's one thing to go and meditate or pray. Or maybe spend time at your local house of worship, whatever that may be, or with a group of like-minded people sharing philosophically and spiritually and so forth. But what happens when, I've had people on the program talking about these spiritual crises. I mean, people have written books about how to get through various spiritual crises. And quite honestly, I had never thought about that. And then, of course, the song by R.E.M. about losing my religion, you know, losing my spirituality, losing my spiritual focus, you know, and that type of thing. How did you come to create this wonderful opportunity for people to work through you and your group to maybe get their souls rejuvenated or find their purpose or their path or what have you?
Well, one of the things that Magdalene taught me is that we have a seed of light inside our soul, and our soul is a point to access the soul is located right at the xiphoid process, which is that pointy piece of cartilage that hangs down from the sternum, kind of pointing to the soul energy.
I went the wrong
and
way.
If we open, sorry.
I went up instead of down. Yes, I went up instead of down, and I'm going no, the pointy down here. Okay, I found it. I have one. It's okay.
Yes, where your ribs come together in the center. If you think about biology, it's that little point, you know, it's right in the center. And so she taught us, you know, the group of us, that this place accesses our blueprint and accesses the light that we carry and what I talked about before in terms of our vibration. And if we live from that place, in other words, if we drop into it, breathe into it, touch it with our fingertips, open it out a little bit as if we were weaving thought energy or focus into that space, then we get deeper in our consciousness and in our awareness. We can actually touch into this swing between worlds, which is where we made this design in the first place, and we can then begin to connect to other people from our soul, quote-unquote. So we have this place where we cultivate energy and attention, and of course in metaphysics, if you focus on any energy and attention, you're going to grow it. It's going to expand, you know. What you pay attention to grows. So as our soul connection grows, everything that we really truly desire from within ourselves, which is about our fulfillment, our connection, remembering who we are, all those lovely things that we know are very important and, in a sense, priorities if we're on a quote-unquote spiritual path, become more accessible. So we work with that individually. We have retreats. I'm working a lot in England right now. We're working with horses right now. And we actually open that space and step into a group and witness with each other what happens when we journey from that space, when we kind of shamanically or in a matriarchal sense open in a nonverbal process where we can access, so what's really in there and how does it make a difference. And Magdalene has a very interesting way of describing the difference between living from your soul and living from your mind or from the physical reality around you. And she says one way, living from your soul, is living from your design, and the other way to live is from your conditioning. And you and I were talking, Richard, about how the world is shaping around us mm-hmm. and how we're bucking it
yeah.
on one level or another, you know, because it really doesn't work. And we know it doesn't work.
Right.
And the famous quote that, you know, that I keep using and people say, you know, kind of attribute to me is that we've tried everything else, but we haven't tried living from our souls.
Yeah.
You know, we've investigated absolutely every other part of our consciousness except our soul. And evolutionarily, you know, it's time.
Yeah.
It's really time.
I've been talking with people over the last few months about just a wide variety of subjects along the same line. And I was reading something this morning about psychic ability. I mean, that's what this particular book was about. But what was interesting was that it was talking about how science is approaching it from the end point as opposed to prior to the end point. And that's why they can't figure it out. But they're also trying to do it from the physical.
Right.
And it doesn't happen in the physical. You can measure the brain waves and the heart rate and the respiration. You can measure all of those things as you will. You will never find the key to how it is that we, as human beings, or maybe I should better say spiritual beings in human bodies, are able to access that information as you've talked about earlier in terms of the guidance. And I talk about this all the time in terms of listening to the still small voice. It'll never steer you wrong. You know, it'll challenge you. It may very well challenge you, but it's not going to take you into a situation where it's going to where you're going to be hurt or injured or anything of that nature. And it's not enough just to listen. You can listen all you want. I can listen to the radio all I want. You know,
yeah.
But if I listen to that and it's like if I'm hearing it and I'm getting the instruction, but I'm not doing anything. Why am I listening in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And the systems that we're living under today, they're just not working. And we're seeing how they're not working more and more and more. But we're also seeing very strong, and we've seen this over the centuries too, compassionate human community connectedness when there are major challenges facing populations.
Mm-hmm.
We come together. It doesn't matter what other institutions may come along and say, oh, when such and such happens, we'll be there. It doesn't matter because the people in the community, they come together. They know one another. They take care of one another. You know, they share of what they have. There is no fighting over, you know, the resources, if you will, mm-hmm. because they know we're all in the same boat here kind of thing. You know, it's like when floods roll through or a fire rolls through a hillside. I mean, we've had that here on the South Coast numerous occasions shortly after I moved here. For like 3 straight years, we had fires whipping this way and that way. Well, when that happens and a whole bunch of houses are taken out, the people, they come together. Those that were affected directly and not affected directly, they come together to support and help one another. That's where I see the real, true soul support coming.
Yeah, it's in community. It feels like it's always in community. And in this idea I was talking to you about before, that there is no other. There's really no one else out there. You know, that's a really interesting idea, that everything is a kind of a projection of ourselves. You know,
on the one hand, we are not alone. By the same token, it's almost like you're saying, well, yeah, but we really are. I mean, that's kind of what I'm hearing is, yes, we are, but
well,
no, we're not.
Well, what I want to talk about, which is really fascinating to me, some of your listeners may have read the book Zero Limits by Joe Vitale. And he talks about I think he's a psychologist from Hawaii, and he practices this very interesting way of working with his clients, and it's called Ho'oponopono. I think it's H, and then there's a little apostrophe, O-O-P-O-N-O-P-O-N-O, Ho'oponopono. And what it basically is describing in Joe's book is the fact that this individual worked with some incarcerated individuals, I think it was rapists and murderers and so forth, on a closed unit, and he worked with these individuals without ever talking to them or seeing them. He looked at their dossiers and their pictures, and he kept saying 4 sentences. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. And as he said those four sentences over and over over a period of months, these individuals, quote unquote, got better. They healed. They began to wake up. Mm. And the premise of this is that if you look at someone else and you see them as other than you, in other words, that you don't have anything to do with the way they are. You don't have anything to do with what happened. You don't have anything to do with the way that people treat each other or the way that karma has unfolded or the way that these situations outside of our real memory have taken place and are in our spiritual circuits. If we isolate ourselves from the fact that that interconnectedness is key to our own evolution, all of us together, then we stay in that separate box. And it's not us, it's them. And I see more and more of this. I wrote in my newest newsletter, so many things are coming across my desk about threatening things that, mm-hmm. that we experience in our water and in our environment and mm-hmm. you know, who's doing what and what are we observing and what are the actual reasons for some of the things that we seem to be experiencing as unhealthy. And you know, we can go into any kind of direction there. But
yeah.
What's interesting is that if we do this inner work of it's not about me and them, it's not them doing something to me, somehow I'm involved, somehow I'm connected, and we say the sentence, I've started, you know, when I remember, I walk down the street, and everybody, you know, particularly like in New York or somewhere, or in London, I'm walking down the street, and I'm saying this over and over, because I'm connected, I've done things, they've done things, we've done things, and it feels like where we're moving, you know, to the place when you're going to talk to Greg, you know, is we are creating something together. What is it we want to create?
Yeah.
And many of us don't know what to do to help the polar bears, to help the dolphins, to work with the naval sound process that's deafening whales. We don't know what to do to save those forests, to talk about how consciousness could affect something energetically from the choice of our heart to be involved. So this idea of just saying, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. We've used in workshops in England, and it's quite an amazing process because it brings you right down into that deep chamber of the sacred space that the heart and the soul and the solar plexus right in the center of the body brings you right down to where you really want to live from if you have a choice. You know, if you're not reacting to something, you're choosing that steadiness. It's where that opportunity comes in to actually respond from the oneness that we know is our origin.
Yeah. You know, if people are sort of already on the path and then they're affected by the things around them, you know, and whether it be due to the economy, they've lost their job, and then the cycle has begun where they lose this, they lose that, and they lose the other, and they're able to stay focused, you know, in that respect, usually what we find is that that everything that just happened not only was of my creation because, well, it happened to me, so I must have created it. I mean, that's kind of the more philosophical or metaphysical perspective that, you know, is hard to see when you're in the middle of it. But
that's right.
But by the same token, it also says, okay, well, I didn't need those things. And those things were not really for my purpose, for my betterment, for the betterment of those around me as well. And it's, you know, it's not that I wasn't doing well. It was probably a high-paying job, but nonetheless, it's gone now, and this is gone, and that is gone. And guess what? I get to start over. I get to start fresh with a clean slate, and begin that process. Now, again, as I just said, that's easy to say from this perspective. I have a job, and I have a place to live, and I have food on the table, and transportation, and all of that. I haven't lost those things. But I think that what you're driving at is that, again, that connectedness. And matter of fact, I was talking with a dear friend of mine, actually my best friend through grade school, high school, and college, and I was actually doing the math the other day, and I realized that it's over 42 years that we've known each other, which is like, really? I'm astounded at that. That's half my father's age this month, just about. And he's been through all of that. Literally, he's been through all of that. And yet, he called me up, and there was so, I wanted to do so much more than just, offer him words of comfort and support, and that, hey, if I can, I'll help you in any way that I can. But at least he was appreciative of the ear that I gave to him, and things are starting to shift and turn for him already, which is great. But there are a lot of people who are still struggling through that, and I'm wondering how we can we maybe touch upon that in the next segment a little bit?
Of course, yeah.
All right, let's do that. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We're going to continue talking with Flo Magdalena, and I want to let you know about I have listed here three books. One is I Remember Union, The Story of Mary Magdalene. There is also Sunlight on Water. It is a guide to soulful living. It's a revised edition, and there's another book which we may touch upon a little bit when we come back as well, Honoring Your Child's Spirit, Pre-Birth Bonding and Communication. So Magdalena is my guest. The website is soulsupportsystems.org, soulsupportsystems.org. This is Tell Me Your Story.
You have a message that others can benefit from, a meditation to share, a talk to give that you want heard by more than just those present, a workshop, seminar, presentation with speakers whose information, insight, and inspiration can help others to break through to their highest potential and purpose. Making a quality recording is the first step to making it available, and fast forward is the right direction. They'll bring the recording studio to you. Your message is important. It needs to be recorded by professionals who share your passion and want to provide quality recording to those who want and need to hear it. Call 805-708-9804 to take that first step. 805-708-9804. Call Fast Forward for all your recording needs on location and in studio. 805-708-9804.
As we continue here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, I'm talking with Flo Magdalena, and we're talking about Soul Support Systems and all of the work that she is doing as well. And it's really great to be able to share with you in this particular time as folks are really searching for answers. And I was sharing with a friend of mine, he's very frustrated because people will press him for his views. Now, he is like-minded as I am. He has the same kind of perspectives, you know, but the people he is being pressured by to give his views, they're still of the old paradigms of the two-party system and all of that stuff. And he's, I really don't want to do that. And when he did eventually get pressed and finally did share with them, they laughed at him. And I shared this with my wife, and so she said, well, tell him that the laughter is nothing more than nervousness on their part, because they know, they feel down inside somewhere that what he's saying resonates with them, but they're too afraid, they're too invested in their current belief systems to let that go. And he actually appreciated that. But have you found a way to be able to share these concepts, these ideas with people, so that they can feel comfortable around those who are still well entrenched in the old systems?
Well, you know, the thing that's interesting to me is that most individuals are really after the same thing. They want approval, and they want to be connected, and they want to have a safe and peaceful and prosperous life. And what we can always look to in terms of relationship with language is the fact that language has this very clear way of distinguishing between ideas. If we, however, use energy, and if we hold people in a particular focus or a particular light or a particular heart or soul connection, then what happens immediately is that they feel comfortable, we feel comfortable, and we can connect in that way. And so it's just literally, for me, going in to that soul seed, and it's very simple to do, just to put your fingertips right there, just breathe in there a little bit, and then imagine that you can take that beautiful soul that you have, and you can send the energy of that over to the person, the same place on their body, and you can make a little figure eight or a little circle. And I practiced that for a long, long time so that I could really open that space whenever I wanted to, whenever I needed to, or whenever I remembered to, you know. And what happens immediately is we teach it in our work as a bonding exercise. And then the words that come are much more heart-centered. And the energy that's communicated is about oneness. It also establishes trust because it's where we all come from. It's where we all are oriented in a very deep way that has no beliefs and no language to it.
Yeah.
And so it frees us to actually be spontaneous.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, you know, when we're in a situation and people are saying things, we can find ourselves getting really constricted, like, oh, that doesn't sound like something that I really believe in, or, gee, it's counterproductive, or it's too this or that. And as soon as we start to do that, we separate, and then we're not in that space where the union can be actually a segue into whatever our connectedness might offer to us in terms of creating or experiencing or what have you. So I use that soul connection in a lot of ways to really deepen my reality in each moment, particularly if it feels scary to me.
I hear you, and yet at the same time, I'm curious, then how would I'm all in favor for the union part, but it's kind of hard to feel that and want that when the person that I'm around is just constantly negative, and I just don't want to be around them if they're going to be that negative and self-deprecating and I just don't care anymore kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, it might be then that you work with them from a different place. Mm. A different location. That if you're choosing not to be with them for whatever reason, that you kind of, you know, hang out at home and think about them. And I have this whole new idea about the Star Nation, which I want to talk with you about as well.
Yes.
But it's really putting the energy of their highest soul essence, which they don't obviously remember, around them when you think of them. Instead of labeling them or logging them into your computer, you know, as this, that, or the other, is to say, okay, so I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. Because what happens is then the whole tone of the energy changes. Try it out, Richard. Try it out.
Oh, I'm sorry. I love you.
I'm sorry. Please forgive
me. Please forgive me. Thank you.
Yeah. A little slowly, you know,
mm-hmm.
and thinking about the person when you say it. And it will change the way that you view them, but it will also change the way they view themselves.
And you can even just do it quietly to yourself,
wherever
you are.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
In your head. Oh, absolutely. You don't have to say it out loud at all. Yeah.
Little mantra.
Right.
A little meditative mantra kind of thing. Yeah.
And then. And it becomes the way that you actually approach everybody and everything.
Right. I'm curious too as to, and we will touch upon these other areas as well, but I'm curious too as to how your beliefs were affected initially when all of this was happening to him. I mean, you know, as a Presbyterian, after all, you know, that's pretty, you know, mainstream, if you will, as far
Absolutely.
As the belief systems. You know, I was very fortunate that in spite of the fact that I was raised as a Catholic and I went to catechism and all of that, I was still allowed to think for myself by my parents. And so I guess to my betterment or detriment, here I am today. So what about you?
Well, you know, what was fascinating to me was to actually learn that I wasn't my mind, because I was so tired of my mind. By the time I was in my late 30s, I was really tired of my mind and tired of the constriction, you know, and the judgment that I had about people.
Mm-hmm.
And it just didn't work for me, you know. And I was in psychiatry, then I was working as a nurse. And I could just really feel like this whole openness to something bigger and connection to something deeper was where I had to go. And, yeah, Presbyterian, and at the same time, you know, the idea of religion and being constricted by ideas and rules wasn't my way. So it was, in a sense, a freedom. It gave me freedom, but it also gave me, let's just say, a spiritual way to approach life. I mean, being a nurse, you know, you really want to care for people and you want to be kind and so
sure.
forth. It gave me a way to think about doing that in a kind of unconventional way, which I really appreciated.
Well, we're going to continue this conversation here on Tell Me Your Story. We're talking with Flo Magdalena. Her website is soulsupportsystems.org. That's soulsupportsystems.org. The books, again, that I mentioned before, I Remember Union, The Story of Mary Magdalene. Also, Sunlight on Water, A Guide to Soulful Living. And then, of course, Honoring Your Child's Spirit, both a pre-birth and bonding as well as communication. We'll talk more about that as well as we continue here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, and you can check us out at richarddugan.com, the radio show's page where we archive the programs. And I'll have an email address, too, and you can send me an email. Love to hear what you have to say. Richard@richarddugan.com. That's richard@richarddugan.com. Stay with us. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World.
The Chari Center of Health with Deepak and Rupa Chari bring you this health tip.
Here's today's Chari Center of Health powerful quick tip to burn fat. Wake up and work out. Here's a powerful way to burn fat quickly in the morning. As soon as you wake up in the morning, work out for at least 30 minutes to an hour. Studies have shown that working out in the morning has been shown to burn up to 3 times more fat as opposed to working out at any other time during the day. An elevated metabolism throughout the day only means that you'll burn more calories and lose more weight. So on your morning checklist, work out for at least 30 minutes after waking up in the morning and eat a healthy breakfast. Morning exercisers stay with it. Studies have shown that people who exercise in the morning are more likely to still be exercising 1 year later when compared to those who exercise at other times during the day. And morning exercisers have more energy. Although initially you may have to drag yourself out of bed in the morning to exercise, it's worth it. You'll have more energy at work and energy to take care of the kids.
And morning exercisers sleep better. Exercising in the morning will help you sleep better at night, since you hopefully are sleeping earlier to get up earlier. This way, you'll follow your natural sleep cycle. And morning exercisers eat healthier. Getting up early to exercise creates a mindset of doing something positive and healthy, so you'll probably eat healthier. And morning exercisers are in a better mood. Exercising in the morning creates a positive, happy mood, and your mind will feel clear and calm. That great feeling can last all day after a morning workout. Please start an exercise program in the morning and enjoy the many life-changing benefits.
Take your health to the next level for the new year. Go to charicenter.com. That's charicenter.com. Or call 805-963-1111. That's 805-963-1111.
This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, and we're talking with Flo Magdalena. And if I got a surprise for you, we just spent the last 10 minutes talking off air and conversing about a subject that I think you'll be interested in. However, you won't be able to hear it unless, A, you go to A2Zen.fm Sunday at 3 p.m. Pacific time and listen to that segment, or B, you go to the Richard Dugan website, richarddugan.com, the radio show's page, and listen to that interview. And who knows, there may be a little bit more after we wrap up the radio portion of our program. So a lot of fun stuff we're trying to do to try and get you involved is the best way to put it. And Flo, it's great to have you on the program today and to have you back. And it's been a long time, and we've been kind of working on the return to the program for what seems like 6 months or more, just because of your schedules. And then we lose contact for a while, and suddenly we come back together again in union. Yeah. And we're able to put this together. Tell us a little bit about, you had mentioned, and I know I'm going to get this wrong, but there was one thing having to do with, I want to say star seeds. That's not.
Well, yeah, Starseed Transmission, one of my favorite books.
Yes.
The Star Nation.
Star Nation, thank you.
Okay, so I took some training with a woman named Patricia Hayes, and she has a school at the time called the Patricia Hayes School of Inner Sense Development, and I took classes with her from basically 1979 to 1981 or so. And she taught me to meditate. She taught me about how to access my consciousness, do readings and channelings and so forth like that, and to use what she called the spiritual society to bring guidance from the individual points of soul energy that accompany me and have in some way interest in how I am in the world and what I'm going to be connecting to and so forth. And I began to therefore give messages, and I've given messages therefore for over 30 years. And I have had the privilege and honor very recently of getting messages from the Star Nation. And the first one was given to me live in Glastonbury, England, I think it was like June 13th or something like that. And that one is on my website. You can listen to it, you know, click in and listen to it. It's got two segments. One is about the information from the Star Nation, and the other one is about how to use it. And it's actually a very amazing opportunity to work with Japan and work with the oceans and work with some of the things that some of us care so much about in terms of balancing and creating harmony in the world, or at least offering our energy to support life in whatever way. And so the Star Nation has then subsequently spoken about the agreements and the collaborations that are necessary between, let's call it, extraterrestrial energy and Earth energy, and the actual kingdoms and how they work together. And that one is an amazing, that's called Agreements and Collaborations, and that's also two CDs. And then I did a conference call on July 18th, and I think it's the 18th, I have it written down here, I think it was, and that is free. Also, you can go in and listen to that conference call line. All that information is on my website, and we're going to have a live call again next Wednesday, which is the 15th of August, got that written down too, yep, at 6 o'clock your time, Pacific time, and 9 o'clock Eastern time, where the message will come through again, and you can listen to it, or you can listen to it subsequently on the conference call line. You know how you call in, you give your password and so forth, mm-hmm. and all that information is on my, my website. The important thing that the Star Nation is saying is that we have a tool we can use, which is the eight-pointed star, and we can send that star to people, to places, to kingdoms, to essences, elements, any aspect of creation, and hold it for just a few moments, and or actual seconds, maybe 10, 15, 20 seconds. And what happens is that the star imprints in the consciousness of whatever it is that we're sending it to. Because the eight-pointed star is the star of origin, of all of our origin, everything's origin, we don't need to ask permission. We don't need to hesitate. We don't need to have a reason to do it. In other words, we don't have to say, I imprint this so that X or Y stops happening to this person, or they stop doing this or that or the other thing, or love this person or forgive that person, mm-hmm. or whatever, you know. We just send it.
Right.
We send it to every single person on the planet. And what we ended up doing in Glastonbury was creating a constellation. Apparently, if there's three individuals who work together on the same kind of project, mm-hmm. Then you can actually send a constellation, which is made of 24, you know, points. And at that moment, then there's an energetic, let's just say, catalyst that happens to support more consciousness or more action or whatever. We ended up working with the waters of the earth, the oceans of the earth, and we scooped. We used the figure of the pointed, eight-pointed star, and we scooped the water. And the way that we did it was very fascinating. We moved it away from the oceans that were furthest from Japan, and Japan was our focus, Fukushima was our focus, and we began to go from the furthest point of the oceans away from Fukushima, because all of the particles of water, of course, have the consciousness now of Fukushima in them, right? So we moved and we scooped the water back to where it came from. And we all felt like we were doing this. You know, it was just absolutely amazing. We're moving it all together. There were probably 25 people in the audience or something. And we moved it, and we took it right back to the reactor 4 and put it back inside, in a sense, and then put the star on top of it. But the thing that's interesting about it is, if you're interested in using your awareness, your visionary capacity, your intention, your energy to affect things in a way that perhaps, you know, opens to more creativity, more harmony, more balance, you know, I think that it's all fine, you know, that where we are, it's from the relative level pretty atrocious. from the absolute level, I feel like it's working itself through, and we're all working toward the light, and we don't have the capacity to really judge each other because we don't know what's happening on so many levels because we're in our own little box of the mind.
Right.
And at the same time, it feels like to work together, as you've been talking about, cooperate, be in community, open out these very amazing aspects of our consciousness together is really effective. It feels good anyway. And
yeah.
It also, you know, if you really can kind of visualize what's happening, it really makes sense. You take things to the source and you put the star in and you say we're all the same. We come from the same place. And the other thing that was interesting about the channeling that we did in July, which you can listen to by going on the conference line, or you can purchase some of these if you choose to, you know, but they're all available. What was interesting is they said, if you are interested in, for example, the dolphins, my daughter loves dolphins, and you know that there's dolphins beaching up someplace, you know, then you can send that star, and what you're saying is, I'm a part of you. I wouldn't care about it if I didn't feel like I was a part of you. And you begin to actually connect to things in ways and at levels that just an emotional response doesn't make available to you. And when we start to do that, we have answers that come. We have information that we can access because we're a part of that species then. We're a part of the overlighting deva of something, or we're a part of this co-creative consciousness, you know. So it's exciting because in a time when we're really facing dramatically challenging things, and we don't know what to do, a lot of people comment, what do I do, you know, it gives us a way to focus our energy that really supports life. And I keep saying that, but that's really, I think, the determining factor here is those who are really moving towards the supporting of life, and those who don't have that in their focus as much. And again, if we do the Ho'oponopono, let's say we're looking at a politician, as you were talking about before, you know, we got on this call, or we're talking about how corporations may or may not be supporting of life in terms of what they look like they're focused on, let's just say.
Mm-hmm.
What we can do is we can say to them, I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. Because there's part of us that has greed. There's part of us that's done things we regret. And if we hold that strongly enough, then they begin to feel like whatever their box is begins to dissolve, and they can feel the empathy, compassion, connection, something outside of themselves that maybe they haven't been able to feel, and they can move in a direction that might be new, might be supportive of that harmony and balance. And, you know, we don't know, and yet we do know.
Yeah. It's interesting when you talk about it from that context. I was going to use the analogy, you know, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. Well, none of us can cast a stone, but unfortunately that whole image generates a whole aspect of judgment on self as well, when in fact, okay, we all carry baggage. We all have stuff. We've all done stuff that we're not real proud of. Now, we don't have to go back and think about those things that we've done that we're not real proud of. We don't need to do that. Just acknowledging the fact that you're not happy with what they are doing, okay, but you're also not real happy with some of the things you have done. So you're similar. You have similarities. There is a connection there. Plus the fact, regardless, you're both human beings. You're both human.
Yeah,
there are human beings in the corporate high-rise, individuals just like you, you know. And some of them are just doing what they're doing because for them, it is a paycheck. It is getting from, you know, the 1st to the 15th to the 31st to the 15th and so forth. And so this is all they know to do. And someone said, well, but that's no excuse. Well, maybe not. But that's just the way it is. So we've all been well-trained, well-programmed, and now we're starting to break the programming.
Well, the thing that I just want to say is that the Ho'oponopono works with the memory that we do not yet have consciousness about.
Mm-hmm.
And so much, you know, if we look at the energy system of the body, anything below our throat is unconscious, basically. You know, it's only when it comes up into the higher centers that we actually can figure it out, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're working with these memories, then we're clearing things in ourselves that we don't even know about, and at the same time providing the idea that there's more inspiration. Because what we're doing is we're inspiring inspiring those moments from a place in ourselves that has the focus of clarity. To be clear is so important these days. We have so many things that come across our plate that we look at on television, and what do we believe? What don't we believe? What's real? What's not real?
Yeah.
And the only way we're going to find out is to go in and to go deeply in and see what vibrates as truth with me. What is it that I carry within me as a barometer that tells me the yes or the no, go towards, go away from? Not, you know, in terms of judgment, but in terms of, as you said, the highest guidance that we can hear and feel that will support us in living our life from the place of our own truth. And, of course, when we live from our truth, then we don't judge other people's truth because it doesn't matter anymore what they, quote-unquote, think. That
right.
The truths come together and we have that one truth, you know, the oneness being the one truth. So it's you know, challenging sometimes to actually step away from that feeling of reactivity, but at the same time it feels, you know, now that we have that as a choice, that's getting more defined for us. You know, I feel like now I know how to do this better. You know, that we're finding ways to move together in that heart space more easily. You know, one way is the heart womb, which is, there's amazing research being done about this chamber etherically that we each have in our heart,
mm-hmm.
that holds every single living being within it.
Yeah. There's no question. It is very, it's extraordinary stuff. There's no doubt about that. Just the sum of the research that's going on these days. I'm flabbergasted by the fact that people have even figured this stuff out. You know, it's like, really?
Yeah.
How did you come to that conclusion? You know, how did you even put those, you know, things together? Oil and vinegar, you got them to mix? I don't know. How did you do that? You know, kind of thing. But, you know, and it's more in an awe-inspiring way, like, rather than, you're not supposed to do that. Those don't go together, so don't do that again. Before we wrap up the program, this program has sort of evolved over the years in terms of some of the questions, and so I haven't had a chance to ask you these questions, so I will here, and we'll get through as many as we can, but also want to let our listeners know there's going to be an afterview. An afterview, you say? Yes. It's going to be a continuation of this that, again, you'll only be able to hear on A2Zen.fm or on the archives page where this interview will be located following the broadcast. The question, first one I have for you, Flo, is who is Flo Magdalena?
Light. Emissary of light.
And what do you... you stopped, so I figured, okay, that's the shortest...
No, that's good.
shortest answer I've gotten in a long time. Usually it's silence and laughter. Although I've had one person tell me, I don't know. Next question before we wrap up the program is, what do you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you're doing?
Well, I really want everyone to find their soul because it's the pathway to personal freedom. It's the guidance system that brings our species into harmony, and it is the way that we can live oneness as truth. It doesn't mean that we don't have conflict. It just means, you know, or disagree with things. It just means that we accept each other and we create a reality where we're joyful and we can celebrate the way that our heart wants to celebrate. And I want to see everyone fulfill their yearnings and their dreams, their visions, because I believe that everybody in them has a dream and a vision that at some point they said, no, it won't work, I'm going to give that up. And what our work does is help bring that dream into reality.
You know, the world has changed so much, and there are certain little things that come up in my mind as you say that, thinking, boy, you know, I let that one go a long time ago. And yet, there it is again. And thinking, gee, well, okay, so what if you're, you know, 52? You know, so what?
Are you only 52?
Thank you so much. Only. For most of my career, I was always the youngest one in the group. And oh, you're such a baby. You're such a child. You know, because I was the young one. Yes,
now you're
I am.
Glad, right?
Yes, indeed. Okay, before we wrap up this segment of our program, I want to let our listeners know your website is soulsupportsystems.org. That's soulsupportsystems.org. My guest has been Flo Magdalena. Stay with us. We're going to continue this in the afterview on the archives page and at A2Zen.fm. And Flo, thank you so much for joining us for this program.
Thank you so much for this opportunity, Richard, and just sending blessings to all your listeners.
Thank you. And as we wrap up this segment, I'm Richard Dugan. Until next week, love to Lal. And as we continue here on our program, I want to let you know that we're talking with Flo Magdalena, and we're talking about her website, her work, all of the things that she's doing. This is what we call the After View. And Flo, thank you for staying with us on this portion of our program.
Thanks for inviting me.
The thing that I find so extraordinary about what we've been talking about in the previous segments of our broadcast is the fact that as we talk about on this program, Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. And as we wrapped up the last segment, you, as part of what you hope to and want to achieve through the work that you're doing, is help people to discover their souls, their soul purpose, the joy in their life. And even in asking you the question, what is it that humanity is here to, and I use the word achieve, accomplish. What are we here to do? Because I don't see humanity having done much in the last 2,000 or 4,000 years other than the same old, same old. It's just over and over. And it's like there are people now, Flo, who are saying, I've had enough. This is, and now, we both laughed when I said I was only 52. I've only been here half a century, just barely half a century, and I'm already tired of it. I don't like the way things are right now, because not just from the standpoint that, let's say, maybe I'm fatigued, I'm tired, I'm bored, No. Because I'm still very charged and energized about what I'm doing in my life, okay? It's everyone else. I look at the health conditions, the mental, emotional condition of people, that the, and I'm using the word machine, because I can't think of a better one yet. Mm-hmm. The machine that man has created and continues to run is destroying him as a being and is destroying civilization as we know it. So how do we, who are, and you know, and I've talked with people about this also. They, for example, the Occupy people. Now, they may not have a spokesperson and they may not have a manifesto, but what I do get from them is enough is enough. We're tired of the way things are and the way things have been. We want something different. And Greg Braden has told us that we have to make totally new choices that have never been made before regarding the challenges that we face today. How do you see all that?
The thing that seems to be obvious to me is that we originate as light, and we come into crystal. It's like crystalline shapes that then get attracted to each other, and then they get denser, you know, and denser and denser in the beginning of the beginningless beginning, you know, and they get kind of thicker and thicker, and then there's the light goes inside. And then the carbon is outside, you know, and as we hear about what's happening to us biologically, we're becoming more crystalline, and the carbon is reducing. You know, it's kind of like that we are going through this transition. And it feels to me like we are at the precipice, the edge of that precipice, where the crystalline nature of consciousness, of our relationship with life and each other, and our relationship to the darkness is actually being looked at in a different way spiritually than it's ever been looked at before. I'm now doing programs where we're working with our shadow. We're working with the dark. Mm. Because the dark is just there to empower us to find the light.
The dark is sort of like the silence between the notes.
Exactly. Exactly. And if we begin to accept that we're co-creating this, not take responsibility, guilt, blame, and all that, but if we really say, okay, so whether it's because we haven't acted or because we haven't thought it through or because we've acted carelessly or because we've judged or whatever, let's step back and really begin to put together the energy or the consciousness or the light or whatever we call it for ourselves to actually say to ourselves, okay, so how do we balance what we know is important and a priority for us individually, and introduce that energy into the world around us in a positive way, so that what we see as dark is set together with what we feel or see as light, and we begin to shape the thing. So in other words, what we respond to is we respond to by bringing light to what we experience as dark in ourselves, outside of ourselves, in our world, or wherever it is. So it's actually a matching frequency thing. It's like we bring our frequency and we say, okay, so, well, that's really powerful. So I'm going to get up a lot of energy, and I'm going to meet that. I'm going to meet it psychically, energetically, verbally. Maybe I'm going to make a mind map where I put those two things together. Maybe I'm going to put my two hands together. If I find in myself something's arising and I really feel like I want to do something reactive or instinctive, you know, that isn't necessarily thought out or humane, then I also can match that with the frequency inside of myself, my heart frequency or whatever. We can do that with something called the Light Magnificent. And I'm going to tell you about it briefly. There is a YouTube. If you go into Aevia Magdalena, Aevia is my middle name, Aevia Magdalena, A-E-V-E-I-A, it's Eve with an A in the front, I-A at the end, so Aevia Magdalena, M-A-G-D-A-L-E-N-A, in the YouTube, go to the Light Magnificent. And what it shows us how to do is to bring light through the edge of a blade of a sword, which we imagine, right into the quote-unquote the enemy, or right into what seems to be the opposite of what we choose to experience or live, or perhaps we've been abused, or perhaps we've been in some way utilized in a way that isn't positive for us. It doesn't work for us. It's uncomfortable, or it's even been damaging. In those spaces of light, we can actually balance the light and the dark in a way that provides instant relief, instant unification. So you don't have to forgive. You don't have to go there. You can actually recognize that what you carry and what somebody else carries, when there's been an agreement of any of that kind of thing where we experience the learning from a teacher, quote-unquote, you know, in an uncomfortable way, that can really resolve instantaneously through that Light Magnificent. And I just would invite people to go onto the YouTube and to look at that and experience that and see what they think of it. And please email me and let me know, because it's what we've experienced so far has been pretty amazing.
I'm, again, always taken by the work that people are doing, the people that we have on this program, not only from the standpoint of the motivation or the intention, but also the actual work itself and the purpose behind it, or not so much the purpose as much as the intention and the focus and so forth. It's wonderful to hear. I'll be honest with you, and I'll be honest with the listeners too. There are times when I sit back in the middle of the week and I'm working on this program, trying to set up guests, which is, I mean, if you go to my website now and you go to the schedules page, I'm booked to almost, December is the only place where I have holes. I'm booked through November, and I have Greg in December, and I think I have one other. So it's not like I have trouble, but I still sit there going, what the heck am I really doing with this show? I mean, what am I accomplishing? That kind of, you know, it's that doesn't last long, I will tell you. It does not last long, but nonetheless, that still crops up from time to time. But then when I listen, and then I listen to people like you, and they say, oh, well, we're doing this and we're doing that, and this is how we're touching people and changing they're changing their lives by using our modality and so on and so forth. And I've heard from so many people in this seminar and workshop, and I just think that's fabulous. And again, I've been very fortunate that I have, I've only had short bouts of doubt, doubt mm-hmm. bouts. I'm constantly reminded by people, no, you're doing, I mean, cause you're given a voice, you're given an opportunity for people to, and I said, well, that's the whole purpose of the program, is to give people an opportunity to share their ideas, to share their concepts, that which they have been drawn to, or that they have been called to, their calling, their purpose in life.
Yes, their calling, right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, I just want to say that the thing about doubt and worry and concern is that they are messengers, basically. You know, they're coming to say to you, oh, you're not in your soul right now. You're not living that fully, are you? You know, you've got something else on your mind. You know, because people will go through these deep experiences, and I know I did the same thing. You know, you go through the experiences, and then afterwards, like, well, was that real? And can I do that again? And is that going to be possible for the world? And gee, I think so. But then look at what happened. Look, I just looked at the news, and we kind of reflect back and forth between what we know the reality to be and the truth,
yeah,
or the absolute within ourselves, and then what the reality, you know, or the relative is outside. So I always say to people, you know, if thought shows up or we're concerned, just loop back right in, and then you get that energy. And the way to create the, I'll say it, abundance of our soul's energy is to live there, to really find that as our greatest resource. And then because in my epistemology, the reception of the resources is in balance when we're giving our gift. In other words, versus,
yeah,
you know, we were talking about before, the, mm-hmm, the greed of, I want the car, I want this, right? But if we're really saying, I want to do this to do my work, I want to do this to further my understanding of how to incorporate my greatest yearning to assist humanity or to support life or whatever it is, and I want to do that so much, so please help me to do that, and I'm going to stay in my soul and figure this out. And that's when the design starts to unfold like a scroll, and that's when we can begin to see, oh, that's linked to the other thing. If we look at it linearly, then we step out of the creative vortex. So we need to actually look at it from that timeless space.
Yeah.
That has no form.
You know, I think for others, when you're in the zone, in that zone, mm-hmm, if you will, but it's saying all the same things. And I have to say that there have been times when I've been working on projects, and I know what time I started, and the next thing I do, I look up at the clock, and it's 3, 5, 6, 7 hours later.
Yeah.
Really? Where did all that? You know, I'm still not finished. You know. And then the other aspect of it, too, this is the perfectionist, which I've actually done very well at getting a handle on, and that is, okay, stop. It's not that it's as good as it's going to get. It's don't. It's fine as is. Let it be what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that a lot of people, they get caught up in, I got to fix this, and I got to fix that. And when we went to computers, in terms of audio editing, I thought, wow, this is going to make editing really, really fast. It just made it much more precise to where you'd sit there and you'd get picky and you'd clip this and you'd adjust that. And I've gotten to the point now where I don't do that I don't do that at all, as a matter of fact,
mm-hmm,
because I know that it sounds just fine the way it is. Nobody is going to hear what you're hearing because you're the only one that has those ears. So just relax, enjoy what you've created. And I think the greatest example or of knowing when something is perfect, if you will, and when I use the word perfect, I mean complete. I've created some things that even to this day, when I listen to them, bring a tear to my eye.
Mm-hmm.
And that tells me, yeah, you hit it, you nailed it. Now, whether that happens to anybody else doesn't matter.
Exactly.
But it hit you, and I am again in awe, if you will, and very grateful to be able to do this stuff. I mean, there are people that look at me and think, you know, I mean, I have the nickname of Dr. Dugan. I think at one time I was referred to as a wizard.
Mm-hmm.
I just love doing this, and I have fun doing it, and I am good at what I do, and I have to say that it does show, but I am also humble enough to know that I'm not going to sit here and just constantly go on and on about how great I am, because I'm not the only one here. I mean, And I remember hearing a politician say not too long ago, and this was to entrepreneurs, that they didn't get there on their own. But it's true. None of us.
None of us do. No, none of us do.
And it's like, and yet this individual was criticized for making that statement. I thought, but it's true. Yeah. I didn't get here. I mean, if the only people that I have to give credit to for being where I am today are my parents, that is the absolute stone cold truth. That if it weren't for my parents creating me, I wouldn't be here. Thank you.
Yeah, gratitude, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
So before we wrap up this segment, and again, I want to thank you so much for sharing with us in this extended format. This is a great deal of fun for me because I get to tease the audience a little bit and say, hey, we got more if you want to hear more.
Join us for more. Right?
Join us for more. That's why I, and the after view is what we like to call it. Mm-hmm. If there were, shall we say, one tip, piece of advice, tool that you could offer to our listeners to assist them on that journey, if they haven't found their path, their purpose, the joy that they are looking for in their life, that where they might begin to find that, or how I should say maybe?
Well, I think the first thing is to know that you always get another chance. And whether it's here or someplace else, you always get another chance. It's not over. The other thing is that there is no judgment in the universe. So when we go back to the swing between worlds, we're cherished no matter what we did. And if we decide at any point in time that what's not working for us is so strong that we really want another way out, or we want to do something different, or we have to stop or whatever, the one thing that I feel like really, really works is to take one breath and close your eyes and ask the one question, you know, what is next? Like, what is, to just stop, take the breath, and say, what is next? And then give yourself a moment, 2 moments, 3 moments, whatever, to just let a picture form, let an energy come, let a memory fill you. Or look at a tree, hold a tree, stabilize your energy in some way. Because it's all about, we have this thing called our thought waveform, which I will tell you about maybe the next time we talk. It's a left-right brain connection that is stabilized when we're born, and it talks about to us about how we learn, and it also is about how we react, what works and what doesn't work. And it's our pattern of creation, and it's our pattern of being stuck, and it's in our mind. And if we take one breath and change our focus, close our eyes, and ask the question, okay, so what's next? What that does is it allows us to stop the pattern that's of stuckness and open so that our right brain gets accessed. We get creative energy into the spiral. It's a figure eight. And we begin to feel like something's shifting. Now, usually when something shifts, then our body is no longer holding as much carbon dioxide. We actually have more oxygen when we're not afraid, right? Mm-hmm. So then in our environment around us, we're creating an opportunity for there to be more space and more of the vibration that's inside us in our soul seed. Then if we're, you know, in that mood to go into the soul seed, or just to breathe and let something new come in. The idea is that we want to interrupt the process of, you know, kind of self-flagellation or judgment or, you know, depression or thinking that things aren't working and aren't going to work, and stop that, because that's not the reality. That's the pattern that we have adapted from the time we were born and took that first breath and saw the amount of light that was in the environment in which we were born. Our hypothalamus records that. And when it records that energy, we keep creating that same amount of light or absence of light. So in my ideation, it's if you can really breathe and open, then there's more oxygen, there's more space, there's more connection, and then we can find our direction.
Mm. You know, that that description brings a lot of different things to mind in terms of our I mean, you're obviously focused, but I was the thing that came to my mind was the absence of emotion in all of this. Now, I'm not saying that there is an absence of emotion, but what I'm curious about, and this is a question to you, most people talk in duality, love, fear, but both of those are emotions that we feel. What is it that you, how would you describe, or what name would you put to, if you can, that which we experience? And again, I'm going to use the term when we're in that zone, when we're in that creative process where time has no meaning whatsoever, where it's just flowing. And even if it's in a group of people, it is just flowing.
I call it awareness.
Just awareness.
Well, actually, I call it awareness, and it's a state.
Okay.
So awareness is separate from our spirit, our emotion, our mind, and our body. And if we can differentiate between what those elements of us are, and if we can go into awareness, once or twice even, just to know what it is, knowing that it isn't what we are reacting to emotionally, it isn't what we've been thought, you know, we should think about, or what our mind tells us, or what our conditioning offers to us. It's the sense that we're actually able to see those parts of us and know that they aren't us.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have that freedom to say, ah, what can we do around that? What can we do with that? How can we utilize that space to actually then direct and guide our ship?
Hmm. You've only been doing this for 30 years? You're getting good.
A little bit more than three.
Well, yeah. Flo, I want to thank you so much for sharing with us in this extended afterview and sharing with our listeners as well this information. I think that it goes beyond helpful. I know that under our present paradigms, you know, each one of us is challenged by the various things that we need to acquire to maintain and sustain our lives, and I understand that. I'm hoping that one day we can actually get beyond that, to where this isn't about, this is my passion, but I also need you to write me a check, kind of stuff. It's one of the frustrations that I have experienced in my life, from the standpoint that I've always wanted to just do the work. And so I always undercharged, at least by other people's standards. I undervalued my work.
Yeah.
But I thought, well, yeah, but look at it this way. If I charge them what you're thinking I should charge them, then they won't come to me for the work because they can't afford it. So then I'm not doing the work and I'm not making any money. So if I charge them what they can afford, guess what? I get both.
Mm.
And then they have something that they can take out there and use for their purposes, for their life's purpose. You know, and that's the way I've looked at it for years. Fortunately, nowadays, I'm actually charging what I think I'm worth, at least more so than before. And so far, most people don't cringe. That's what I look for. I say the number and they, okay, well, all right. Well, when can we get started? And I'm saying right away. So I think that that's something that I'm hoping that one day we as a society, as a civilization on this planet, can get to where we can, and I really do hope it'll happen in our lifetime.
Well, we're moving to value the heart as much as we value technology. I think it's happening, and it feels like we're all being, in a sense, catalyzed to bring our aliveness, our juiciness, our even our wantonness. You know, this just, it's not about going someplace and necessarily meditating on the mountaintop because that's the purest place.
Right.
It's bringing that purity everywhere we go.
Exactly.
And spreading it like peanut butter on bread, you know?
I had, very quickly before we wrap up, I had this interesting experience. We've been going through, of course, this excessive heat here on the Central Coast and in Southern California, and they asked for what they call, they have these flex alerts where they're asking people to reduce their consumption,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the public responded in such a way that they actually dropped the Flex Alert just last night.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, if that is, and of course, here's the dirty word that you don't want to use in these kinds of conversations, but if that isn't a socialist act on the part of the public, I don't know what is. I mean, you know, and yet they did it.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
They did it. So what that tells me is we can all do that same kind of thing for one another and for ourselves. But
Absolutely.
We don't have to put a name on it. Don't have to. Just do it. Just do it.
Exactly.
And it'll
work.
Website, soulsupportsystems.org, and they can get in touch with you. We are linked to you as well. Flo Magdalena, thank you once again for joining us.
Thank you so much, Richard.
Have a wonderful day. You too. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Until next Saturday, love to law.